Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 4th, 95th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon. There we go. Just waiting for the door to close, a creaky door there. Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 5th, Ryan Sundberg.
Hey, guy. How you doing today?
Well, drier than last week. How's that?
Yes, it's not as bad.
We're trending positively. We'll talk about some of the other trends that are going on throughout the county when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from George Bernard Shaw. No okay. reference to you, kind of a general peer reference on this one. The liar's punishment is not the least that he is not believed, but that he cannot believe anyone else.
Got it?
Yeah,
you always pull out the deep ones.
Yeah. Yeah, those would be the short ones that I can read clearly. Oh, well, you made it through the first quarter. What kind of the process of the emergency proclamation for the...
You're going straight at it today, huh?
Well, you know, last week we tried to get Jimmy, since he was involved with the writing of it. Limited. What the difference was between an emergency proclamation process and a normal proclamation or policy process. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of ran out of time with it. Now that it's in effect, okay, well, we don't have to talk about that. But the process of doing an emergency or quick pace or whatever you want to call it, how does that differ from the normal process that occurs?
Sure. So the emergency one, you have to have certain findings. There has to be, health and safety concerns that need to be immediately taken care of. So the main process is, you write the language, comes to the board meeting. If it's adopted by a 4/5 vote, not a majority, just it has to be a 4/5, it goes into effect immediately. So the moment you make the vote, it's in effect. The other process for a normal ordinance is a majority vote. There's usually a hearing on it so the public can help you draft it, basically, and change things, whatever. And
the normal public interaction.
Yeah, and then it's in effect 30 days after you pass it. So it kind of gives some time for people to gear up for the new expectations that are in the ordinance.
So things like Clam Beach was a normal process, 30 days, or can it be longer than 30 days? I seem to think that was like a 60-day or 90-day.
I'm pretty sure there's flexibility in there. I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that you would be able to, if you didn't want it to be in effect until a certain time, you could do that. I do recall something that is an option.
Of course, that wasn't really an area of interest.
Not on this
last
one.
Week when you guys were dealing with this other situation.
Yeah.
Were you surprised, or was it just a expectation met that the public discussion portion of that determination did run as strong as it did in opposition to doing the emergency process?
I think I expected it. I had gotten so many phone calls, emails, stopping in the grocery store, wherever I went, someone would say something about it. And those are where I got the other side, and being out in my district and talking to people and, when is something going to happen there? It's, we know all the problems. So I had all that part ahead of time, and then I expected, to hear the other side mainly in our open session, public comment.
So more confirmation.
Well, I knew it was going to be really a difficult issue, and you know, I also had friends of mine who said, you know, you need to not vote on this. This is, you know, taking away our rights and free speech. And so I knew whatever decision was going to be made, there was going to be people that were going to be angry. And now, it was just kind of a reality right off the bat that everyone was not going to be happy at the end of this, you know, whether I voted for it or voted against it. Well, those things are, you have to do what you think is right, what you think is best for the county. And if people are mad, you know, you're going to make people mad either way. So all I can do is do what I think is right.
The language in this particular policy, it doesn't allow overnight camping, right? Isn't that the gist of it?
Yeah, it's pretty strict, actually. It's, you know, the no overnight camping from 9:30 p.m. to 6 o'clock in the morning, and no affixing signs to the county property, no food facilities, no...
Does that mean campfires or no bringing in thermoses or
It's kind of
something on wheels that has steam and they sell hot dogs from in New York City in front
there's, of. There's definitions on the ordinance of what all these are. But, yeah, there's no camping. There's no open flames. There's no tables.
Normal?
Yeah. Well, there's no tables or personal property storage was the other big one. And so, you know, and I think some of the people who spoke out against it at the meeting had valid points of, you know, how far do you go with this? You know, is if you bring a thermos and you share it with another person, is that a food facility? You know, someone, you know, some of the, like women in black that come and they set down their signs, is that, you know, are they going to be in trouble for that? And
now, was that group doing it, or were this advocates for you not to vote in favor of this
because of the current
situation and just trying to smokescreen?
Yeah, we had the kind of the gamut of people who, you know, had some suggestions to people who were just adamantly against any ordinance that we were going to do that day. But I also thought there were some valid points out of it, and one of the big things is we're going to do a comprehensive ordinance that's going to spell out exactly what people can do. There won't be as much gray area as there is now.
Site-specific stuff or just for
county property in general? So it won't be just the front of the courthouse. It'll be on all county property. And I would expect that, you know, and one of the things that I keep hearing is, you know, candlelight vigils. People can't do that now if it's not dark until 9:30, they wouldn't be able to do it. So I would expect it to be loosened up to accommodate those kinds of uses. By no means do we want to limit people's free speech rights, or, you know, I want people to be able to come and protest how they want. It's just they have to do it in a way that is not infringing on other people's free speech rights.
KINS, News and Information Times, 423. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 427. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you're looking at this specific language with the ordinance, we'll deal with the philosophical stuff in the second half of the show. The the regulatory environment is one element, the part that you guys do. The enforcement is a different one. Mm-hmm. The prosecution, as we're finding out, seems to be the wild card in this whole equation. The law's down, the cops do, the sheriff does, okay, everything. But then when it gets to the prosecution side, I'm sure you saw the email like a lot of us did, and the discussions around, no, we're not going to prosecute anybody who's arrested, hanging signs.
I don't know if that's all the way true, because I just, you know, the other day was in the paper that someone just got found guilty for camping, you know, and they, I understand, there's,
camping,
it's got to be
not,
hard.
Not the sign hanging part.
No. Well, see, and that's one of the things that came up in our meeting was there's city ordinances, and then there's county ordinances and laws, you know, state laws, and those kind of
depends on whose property it is.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that came up that, you know, one of the reasons why I thought the ordinance was a good idea is because this puts it all into one, and there's no, you know, this is their problem, this is our problem, and, you know, what can the DA do about, you know, is this a misdemeanor or not? And so now it's clear, you know, there's no more, you know, there's no more passing it around, you know, seeing whose problem it is. So I like that part of it. And one of the other big things that came up was people said, you know, this isn't constitutional. And one of the first questions that I asked right off the bat to Wendy Chaitin, our county council, was, you know, what is this? Has the Supreme Court ruled on this? And both the California Supreme Court has ruled on it, and the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled on it, that local jurisdictions, governments have the right to regulate their own property, and, you know, with certain rules. But those rules were met in this case. I thought it was clear. I'm sure that's debatable between some people, but for me, I was satisfied that those rules were met. There was clear health and safety hazard there that we had to take care of.
It's real easy, I think, for people to throw that stuff against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free speech issue.
Yeah.
Well, funny, I thought it was a freedom of assembly issue, but that's okay, free speech, okay. And there's the unimpeded part. There's the safety part. There's a bunch of elements associated with it, but it doesn't, it seems like the catchphrase, and you just throw it and you wait to find out who's most sensitive to it, and that's the person that they go after.
Yeah. Well, I had quite a few emails come in of people saying that, and then I...
Local emails?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and people I knew well, and saying, you know, how can you guys do this? It's not, you know, it's unconstitutional. And so I copied pieces of where the Supreme Court has ruled. And then, if you go to the internet and you type in time, place, and manner, it pulls up a bunch of cases. It cites case law. So it's not only, you know, it's been held up in the California and U.S. Supreme Courts. There's case law on it.
So it's ignorance. It's ignorance.
Well, it's just...
People don't know.
Yeah, some people don't know. And actually, when I told some of them, you know, copied that and showed them, they went, oh, okay, I understand. No.
What's the old Gilda Radner character? Never mind.
So, it didn't work on all of them, you know, but it did. Some people went, oh, okay, I see where you're coming from now, or how you guys can do this. Because there were some people, you know, when they were citing, you know,
you, your
Congress
kids
should
and
make
your
no law,
kids, yeah.
You know, and it's just not the case here. You know, we do have that right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you look at this, I'll call it an experiment. I mean, we could call it a text or a study if we want, or over the last 7 or 8 months, however long it has been. Obviously, with the ordinance in place and with it to be codified and solidified in a couple of weeks, things wouldn't play out now the way that they did before. Are you surprised that it went this long, or that the county, instead of being a handshake county, continues to have to get more and more litigious, more and more defined, more and more yes or no instead of the spirit of the law?
No, I mean, I think that it went on this long because, you know, we wanted to try and give it every opportunity to work its way out, you know, and hopefully things would get better, and we kept waiting and waiting. And so I think there just becomes a breaking point eventually that happened, you know, and Supervisor Smith, you know, decided to bring it forward, and, you know, and it obviously it passed with the 4/5 majority.
What was the discussion why it was 4 out of 5 instead of 5 out of 5?
Yeah, I think some of the things that Mark was pretty clear that he was for the ordinance, except for some language that was in it. And I think the hours and not being able to have a candlelight visual, there may have, you know, some of the language is really loose, you know, and like we talked about, you know, personal property. If you have, you know, say someone's homeless and they've got to leave their backpack, and, you know, if they've got a knife in their backpack or whatever, they want to come use the courthouse, whether it be the bathroom or any of the other services there, they leave their stuff outside to do that, you know. And
don't now, you check that in as you're going through the security?
You can't check that stuff in. You
can't, there's not a place you can.
No. There's not. And that's, so that was one of the things we talked
well,
about.
So if it's maybe sitting there out there be. Exposed.
Well, you can't leave your personal property.
I wouldn't.
There. Well, you wouldn't, but there's some people that do. And yeah. So what I'm getting at is the language was not tightened down. Like, you know, and I think it will be tightened down when we do the comprehensive ordinance that's, you know, going to be here. I think Phil said around May. So it's pretty quickly it's going to be here.
And so you're thinking like lockers and things like that would have to be brought in for that kind of stuff?
I don't think we'll do lockers, so no. But I would think there could be something done to where we can take care of some of these issues if, you know, if that's what's holding people back. Or I think the language will get tightened up and it'll be eased up also to allow some other, you know, traditional uses that have been there that you don't want to keep. You know, we want to give people the opportunity to go and protest and, you know, do what they want to do. At the same time,
without abusing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of the basic line, isn't it? The abuse.
Yeah, and it just seemed like, from my point of view, every time something would happen out front with Occupy, it would always go a few steps farther and see how far they could push it until we would, you know, we would do something, or the Eureka City Police would do something, and then, you know, would get torn down, and then something would start off small, and then it would grow and grow and grow until something happened, you know. And so I just saw it happen over and over, and it's like, okay, we got to do something about this.
And the hassling of people, I too many folks were reporting that it was occurring to think that it was one or two individuals making stories up about being hassled. Did you use the special Batcave parking, or did you walk through it?
I walked through. Yeah, also? I mean, we don't park out front, so we, you know, but I do go out the front doors, and I think it was probably I don't think it was the main Occupy folks that were doing that. It was, you know, there's some homeless people and some mentally ill people that, you know, are sick and that needed, you know, that gave the rest of them a bad name. They did invite, you know, they didn't kick anybody out of their group.
Right, yeah, it's still part of it, even if it's a fringe part.
Which is good and bad, you know. I mean, it's nice that they welcome everybody in, but you also can't control those kinds of things, which makes them all get lumped into the same basket. And, you know, fair or not, it is what it is. And it's, but I don't think the regular Occupy folks would harass somebody or, you know, say the things that were in our packet that, you know, that of some of the harassment claims that, or defecate, you know, those kinds of things. I honestly believe that those were, mentally ill people and that, you know, would probably doing the same thing somewhere else. You know, we did bring in the SOS, bus for mental health services from the Department of Health and Human Services. So they've been going down there on a daily basis and trying to help folks out. And
you know, is that a government outreach?
Yes, through the County Department of Health and Human Services. They have a van that goes and they have
mental health work. That's bigger than any RV you or I'll ever be in. That's like a concert bus.
Okay. It's not quite that
van. Big. Yeah, a little econo van. Yeah. No,
it's nice. It's But they found, you know, there, I think a couple of people that I heard of, they had family in another area, and so they helped them get back to their family. And then I think a few other people got help with getting signed up for, you know, CalFresh or, you know, got some mental health services and things like that. I have heard some good things out of that.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:41. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. You want to say anything about Grandma's birthday or not?
Sure, yeah. My Grandma Joy turned 80, and Sunday night, we had a big birthday party for her, and her favorite band, Merv George Band, played, and there was probably somewhere around 350 people there, and she got recognized from the state and the federal government. They did proclamations for her, and it was, you know, she's done a lot for the community, been on tons of committees. I think she was the longest serving chair person for the Rancheria for 27 years. She helped start the bingo parlor and the casino up there. She sat on United Indian Health Services board for 30-something years. Or
way long.
Like yeah, a long time. And then they went through all of her accomplishments, and I wish I could remember them all off the top of my head, but it was a long list.
You wouldn't be a grandkid if you remembered them all.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was surprised with those, and you know, she's just done a lot, really great person.
And she obviously couldn't have been too surprised.
Well, I think she was
surprised. You got 350 people, somebody must have leaked it to her.
I don't know. She seemed surprised. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When she came in?
No, not the birthday party, but the proclamations.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. Mike Thompson did one, and then Noreen Evans and Wes Chesbro did one at the state for her. So that's what I was talking about.
Okay.
Surprised. No,
yeah.
She knew about the birthday party. Yeah. That would be hard to keep.
Yeah. Or she'd be flaming mad nobody was doing anything, and then,
Yeah. Party's canceled. She's mad.
Yeah. Or everybody eats crow all at once.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, geez. So you're into this thing a little bit. Are you feeling comfortable with being a supervisor yet?
I don't know if you ever feel completely comfortable, but I'm definitely settled in, and I'm actually enjoying myself. It's a good job. It, you know, the times when you get to help people, you know, and then people stop you and tell you thank you, and you know, or I appreciate the things you're doing, and those are really nice, because most of the time
the nice little comments that are quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the time you hear about problems or you guys are doing this wrong and you know, how come government's doing this? And some of it's out of your control, some of it's in your control, but they take forever to solve. And I enjoy the parts where I get to help people, you know, or show up. Last week I went out to Orleans and they got recognized for a Fire Safe Council Award. And so they're a FireWise community now. And it was a bunch of work that they put into it between the Fire Safe Council in Orleans and the Orleans Volunteer Fire Department. And they got together and did a bunch of work, did a whole fire plan. I mean, I don't know if you know that area very well, but it's like a tinderbox there.
Yeah, and that's why trees.
Yeah, trees and brush.
And not a lot of water available.
No, everything's dry. And, yeah, so it's pretty scary. I mean, during the summertime, if there's a fire, I mean, it's really, really dangerous. So
it moves, yeah.
Yeah, so I got to go all the way, you know, out to Orleans and present this award. And just, you know, the people out there just, you know, are so appreciative when we come out there and, you know, and check in with them.
Because there really are very little expectations. Because they are
so far out there, but it's nice to see the hospitality, you know, when you do go out there. And they were trying to plan. We went out before the DA and the sheriff and I and some other folks went out and did a public safety kind of meeting out there. And since then, Sheriff Downey has got an extra deputy out there working with the Karuk tribe to help offset some of the cost. And then when I was out there last week, the Siskiyou County Sheriff was in Orleans.
Oh, really? Came across the line.
And there was,
that's cool.
There was like three of them.
Oh, really?
Patrolling. And so they're, you know, getting a really good relationship and a lot more visibility for the public. And, you know, people aren't thinking that nobody's around, so it's just completely lawless. And that's the message I got when I first came into office, was this is a completely lawless, crazy, crazy town. And since then, I've been getting emails saying, you know, appreciate the extra protection. We've noticed crime going down. We feel much safer.
Oh, that's, you know, cool. So, if there's a real one-to-one correlation there between seeing the squad cars, mm-hmm, and things being normal.
Yeah. And I think there's just a comfort level of knowing that, you know, if you do dial 911, it's not going to be someone dispatched out of McKinleyville.
Yeah. Or Carverville. Thanks for coming by, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow.